Welcome to Authority Engine, your guide to accelerated business growth through podcasting. Now here's your host, Ben Kruger.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Authority Engine podcast. I'm your host, Ben Kruger, the podcast marketing guy, and I'm dedicated to helping you record, engage, and convert through your podcast marketing and becoming the go-to authority in your field. All right, I'm really excited because we've got something interesting today. I'm starting a little bit of a series because I've been getting a lot of questions from folks who already, you know, have a business online or already have an online platform or some presence, or they've got a very finite niche picked out and they really want to serve that niche, but they haven't started podcasting yet. And there's usually a couple of reasons why. I've been getting a lot of questions about this kind of stuff. So the next couple of episodes of Authority Engine podcast are going to be a mini series about getting started, exactly what people need to know to get started with podcasting. And we're going to start today with a little episode about how to avoid the 7 major podcasting pitfalls. So those of you who already have shows out there, this will also be very helpful for you. And a lot of this content will be helpful for you because if you have a show that's not getting the type of results that you really want, this stuff will really help you hone that in and make sure that you're getting everything out of every episode. You're able to get as much marketing value out of your podcast as possible, which is what we're trying to do here as marketers, as podcasters, and as business owners. So let's jump into it because I've got a lot of really good stuff. We're going to go over each of the 7 points and not in a lot of detail because I've gone over some of these in other episodes. But this is going to be a real kind of value-packed little session here. So let's jump in. How to avoid the 7 major podcasting pitfalls. Okay, number one, pitfall number one. This is the pitfall when podcasting isn't the best tool to get you where you want to go. I see a lot of people get started with podcasting when, you know, you kind of ask them about what they're trying to achieve and where they're trying to go. And podcasting isn't necessarily the best tool for what they're trying to do. I want everybody to know this. I'm the podcast marketing guy. Podcasting is not the solution to every problem. And I think where people get into trouble is they try to start a show to get them somewhere that podcasting is not really set up to get them the type of results they're looking for. So here's where podcasting is a perfect fit. One of 2 scenarios, and I've talked about this a little bit before, but in scenario 1, you're established, you've got an online platform of some sort, you've got a little bit of an audience, whether that's, you know, massive or whether that's relatively small, whether that's niche, and you want to grow your authority, you want to grow your reach, and you want to grow your bottom line conversions and sales, because really when it comes down to it, that's what it's all about. So that is a perfect scenario for podcasting where you're able to build that community. You're able to position yourself as a person of authority, as a go-to expert, as a celebrity in the field. You're able to expose yourself to a brand new audience via a brand new medium of audio as opposed to, you know, written text and video and that kind of stuff. And you're able to drive more interest in your products, services, books, seminars, whatever it may be. So that's one scenario. The other scenario is if you're not established and you want to build an audience around a very specific niche or a very specific topic that you know a lot about or that you want to really know a lot about. And then once you build that audience, you'll determine what the needs are of that audience that you can serve them later with a product, service, you know, membership of some sort, a book, consulting, coaching, whatever it may be. but you want to start by building that audience around a very specific niche and then determining their needs so you can serve them later. So those are the two scenarios where podcasting works really well. Here's an example of a scenario where podcasting is not going to be a good fit. Let's say you've just come up with a new concept for a product or service, and you want to test this out. You want to get a couple of new clients or customers in the door, but you don't actually really have much of an audience. You don't really have any customers yet. You're kind of in test mode. Podcasting is not going to be the right tool for you right now. What you want to do first is prove the concept of your product or service or coaching, you know, topic or whatever. And as soon as you have an offering that is proven that people really want, it solves a issue or a serious problem for folks, then you are in the right place to where, okay, this might be something that I want to start a podcast around. But first, you have got to prove what you're doing actually solves a problem. People actually want it. They're willing to pay for it. Podcasting and content marketing in general is not going to be the best tool for proving that, kind of concept of a product or service. That is where something like driving ad traffic to it, to a sales page or to an offer will work really well to test that out, or, you know, going to conferences and speaking to people in person as to general suggestions or scenarios, but that will not be the best spot to start a podcast. All right, that is pitfall number one. Number two, podcasting to a scattered and unprofitable audience. This drives me absolutely batty because I see it all the time, but essentially this comes from folks who maybe you haven't done a very good job of figuring out quite precisely who your most profitable, most influential, most beneficial clients or customers or audience members are. And so you've kind of gone after a general niche or a general topic area because you don't have a very clear picture of exactly who you serve best and who gets the most from what you offer. So what I've developed is the 4-question lucrative listener test. You can grab this little questionnaire or little PDF that'll help you figure it out at authorityengine.com/69, because I don't want to go over the whole thing right now. But it's a very simple 4-question test to determine your most profitable listener segment that you can target with a podcast that's going to do you the most good as a podcast host, as well as do your audience the most benefit because it serves them best. So I encourage you, if you haven't really truly nailed down who your target listener or who that target customer or client is, that's going to be gold for you, and that's going to help you out quite a bit, whether you already have a product or service or not. That's going to be a really good fit for you. All right, so pitfall number three. Oftentimes, I see folks who get started podcasting, they've already got products or services or something going on, but they're totally missing a strategy to turn listeners into paying customers. So they may have a lot of listeners, they may have really active listeners that are excited about what's going on with the podcast, but they do not convert into paying customers. And it's simply because podcasting, you have to think about podcasting as part of your sales funnel or part of your lead funnel, just like another tool like email marketing or social media or content marketing or whatever. Podcasting is a tool that allows you to achieve a certain few things. And when we think of it as part of our sales funnel, it allows us to really kind of make a shift that's going to let us convert folks from listeners to paying customers. So what I mean by that is podcasting serves three main purposes. You know, there's a couple others. One is exposure. So expose you to new audiences, to new folks to check out your stuff. Two is education slash entertainment. So depending on the concept of your show, what you guys are talking about, whether it's an interview-based show or a teaching show or just, you know, something that's more entertainment-wise, that's kind of the content piece. And then engagement is the piece to where it really drives listeners to feel like they're part of a community, something that's active, something that's helping them get somewhere that they want to go or they're enjoying being a part of. And that can be, you know, that engagement can be as little as, you know, sending a tweet to the host or as big as, you know, buying your products or services. But, you know, you realize there's a gap there. You know, there's a difference in how big that engagement is. So in order to bridge that gap from, you know, passive listener to paying customer, there's a couple of different approaches that work well, but the one that I've found works incredibly well is you want to help people progress from listener to your podcast to opting in with their email address, which is kind of, you know, a direct call to action from you at the end of your episode or for a download guide or something. And that is very specifically an engagement piece. So they go from passive listener to I opted into your email for some sort of a download or giveaway or something. And through that autoresponder sequence, or through getting your newsletter and getting emails from you, as well as continual podcast episodes that build that engagement, that build that relationship with the customer to be or the, you know, the listener, then that builds over time into the whole know, like, and trust factor, which is always what needs to be the foundation for somebody to become a paying customer for you, for your product, services, you know, whatever it may be. So that is it. There has to be a strategy there from turning listeners to paying customers. All right, pitfall number four, and this is a very big one. I see it all the time. Inconsistent messaging. And what I mean by that is your content does not necessarily fit your overall branding. Let's say you have product services on the back end. Your podcast is not really a great fit for those back end offerings, or more often, really, your content from episode to episode is not a good fit. So if you're doing an interview based podcast, obviously it's pretty much easier to tie the concept of those episodes in together to make sure that there is a very, very congruent nature to your episodes, to your content. But if you're doing kind of solo episodes, kind of like this, it can be tough sometimes to make sure that all your content flows in a very natural direction. So one way to approach this is to sit down and think about the five most common question types that you get asked about your podcast, you know, topic area or your product or service topic area, or the top five biggest challenges that folks have with your topic area. So for podcasters, you know, some of them are, you know, how the heck do I get started? And that's part what this episode is helping people get figured out. You know, some of the other ones are, you know, what equipment do I use? You know, how do I use podcasting as a marketing tool to actually grow my business, grow my sales, grow my audience? How do I grow the number of downloads that I'm getting? You know, essentially, you want to think about the five most common questions or the five most common challenges that these folks will encounter. Then those become your content categories. So now you've got five content categories. They're all related, but they're all a little bit different. So now when you're creating content, you can look at those five content categories. and you can rotate through them. You know, it doesn't have to be exact linear order. You can bounce around. But now you've got enough of a variance in episode-to-episode topics that people don't lose interest. You're not repeating yourself, but there's some commonality among what you're talking about and what you're helping your audience with, so that everything's consistent with your branding, with your other content types. So that's number four. Number five, this is a big fear that I see all the time with folks, is what happens if I start the podcast and I'm podcasting, but I'm not really getting any response from it. I'm not getting any engagement, and I'm not getting any sales from the podcast. Essentially, you know, this is what I call podcasting on deaf ears or zombies. Really, what this comes down to is there's no engagement because you, as the host, haven't encouraged it, or there's not something that's engaging and enticing enough about your podcast episode content and what you have to share for people to actually connect with, so that they're willing to come out of the quote-unquote silent majority and actually connect with you. So with any content area, with any subject, there's going to be a silent majority. Most of the people that listen to your podcast will not reach out to you via email. They won't reach out to you via social media. You probably won't hear from at least 50% of your listeners ever. And I know that sounds, you know, kind of crazy, but it's very true in other podcasters out there. You'll definitely understand this. There's a lot of drive-by window shopping, you know, just listening to listen type of listeners, and that's okay. They're still going to get a lot of value from what you put out. But you, as the host, want to encourage as much engagement as possible, because for people to really gain a lot from their experience with you as a podcaster and with you as a host, there has to be more of a two-way conversation there. So, you know, them listening to your podcast, that's great, but you know that you're only really able to help them and serve them in a bigger way if you can open up that conversation to where you can help them out more. So maybe that's, you know, maybe that's via social media, maybe that's via commenting on your show notes page, maybe that's, you know, submitting a question for future podcast episodes. Maybe that's submitting a recent win, something that went really well, something that they learned on your podcast and applied in their life, and it's been going great. You know, maybe that's other people in your industry or in your area that are doing things that are movers and shakers, or they're getting started. You know, here on the Authority Engine podcast, I usually will feature a podcast from somebody in our community. Oftentimes it's a brand new one, somebody that just got one started. So there's a lot of different ways that you can encourage engagement. But if you're not getting any, it's because there's not the proper incentive for people to actually want to be a part of what you're doing and to want to open up that conversation with you. So there's a lot more to that, and we can definitely go deeper in that on future episodes, but that's a big one. And I'll link in the show notes to a previous podcast episode where I talked a lot about what I call the listener engagement segment, which is a very crucial piece that every podcast episode should have for podcasters to really drive that engagement. So you can check that out in the show notes of this episode, authorityengine.com/69. You'll find it there. Number six, this is pitfall number six, is starting without an audience and without any contacts or, you know, anything like that, and really fearing that whole podcast dead zone, or, you know, you get it started in it and it never really takes off, or, you know, just your mom and her bridge group listen to the podcast and that's all that it ever goes. One thing with podcasting is it's very much a momentum game. So with podcasting, once you have momentum, it's a hell of a lot easier to get more of it. But when you're starting from absolute scratch, it's pretty tough to get that ball rolling if it's not rolling from the beginning. So what I mean by this is, if you're launching a show, you have no previous audience, and you're looking to build an audience in a specific area, it's going to take a little bit more work than somebody who's already got even a little audience that they can leverage. However, what you can do, and this is a very 80-20 approach, there's a lot more strategies that work really well in this scenario, and this quite honestly is something that we work a lot with our personal clients at Small Business Podcasting for really getting them a lot of initial momentum right out of the gate with our, you know, ultimate done for you podcasting system. But for you, this is an 80-20 approach that we found works really, really well, and you can apply for your own show if you're just getting started. You want to leverage audiences that already exist in your topic area, and these are folks that are going to be your perfect lucrative listener, or the perfect, you know, target audience for your podcast or for your product or service that you're getting rolling here. And I want you to think of other audiences online that have those exact folks in them. So these could be Facebook groups, LinkedIn groups, other podcasts, interest groups, blogs, newsletters, yada, yada, the list goes on. But essentially, you want to think of these groups that have a clear leader, preferably. And what you need to do then is to reach out to that leader directly via email, via phone, and essentially pitch your podcast as something that helps the industry as a whole and serves a role in the industry as a whole, and is not a direct competitor, or is not directly competing with the people you're reaching out to, or with the groups that you're reaching out to for that their audience's online bandwidth. So what I mean by that is, you know, let's say we're in the dog training industry, and I start a dog training podcast, and I reach out to some of the online dog training communities. You know, I find out who the owner is of the, you know, three biggest Facebook groups and a couple of the other podcasts and newsletters and stuff. And I say, hey, just want to let you know, we just launched this brand new podcast. You know, it's called Dog Training University, the radio show, and I launched it because I've noticed in the dog training industry, there's a lot of misinformation around, I don't know, training poodles. And so this podcast very specifically talks about dog training for poodles, and is hopefully something that you'll find very interesting and helpful for your group, whether it's the Facebook group, LinkedIn group, you know, their podcast audience, whatever it is. Here's a link to the first episode of the podcast. If you feel this would be really helpful for your audience, feel free to share it with them. I'd be thrilled. If not, no worries. Have a great day. Peace. So it's a very non-pushy, hey, check out the show, but not in a self-promotion type of a way, but in a, hey, so here's a problem that I've seen in the industry. We started this podcast to solve that problem for the industry as a whole. We're doing the industry as a whole a service by starting this podcast and helping out your audience. You can share it with him if you think it'll be helpful. If not, no worries. Cheers. So that's the pitch. And, you know, like I said, this is something that we help a lot of our clients with personally, because it's a big, big leverage point. Because you can imagine the reason why this works so well is, if you as an outsider post something up in a Facebook group, hey, check out, you know, this new podcast on training poodles, it might get some engagement, you know, it might get some clicks and, you know, get some of that going on for it. But you can imagine that if the leader of that Facebook group, if the owner of that Facebook group posts it up and says, hey guys, you know, I checked out this new podcast about dog training for poodles, and it's really cool. It talks about, you know, this, this, and this, and I encourage you guys to check it out. so many more people from that group are actually going to click through that link and check it out than if you posted it as an outsider that is unknown to the group. That being said, that's only for like Facebook groups. So imagine if you reached out to other podcasters, other newsletters, you know, other bloggers who have email lists, you know, different stuff like that. That's where, you know, not everybody is going to get back to you. Not everybody is going to share it with their audience, but the folks that do can be really big leverage points. So that's just one strategy to help you get rolling if you've got that clutching fear of the, you know, the whole, well, what if I get started and there's nobody there to listen? That's one approach to really help with that. All right, number seven. This is the big dog, the pitfall to end all pitfalls. Delaying getting started because you don't have any experience hosting a podcast or really public speaking or anything like that, and there's some stage fright involved. I don't like the sound of my own voice. What if people don't like the content that I'm talking about? What if what I have is not that valuable to folks and they feel like, you know, they could get it better elsewhere? Oftentimes, you know, I'm not very good at interviewing and you know, so therefore I'm not going to be a very good podcast host. All of these are these mental constructs that people come up with and create in their own head that, quite honestly, you know, may carry some very honest and truth to it, but at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter a whole lot. So this is something, you know, most people that started podcasting, if you ask them, they'll say, oh yeah, I thought about podcasting for 3 months, or I thought about podcasting for 6 months, or I thought about podcasting for 2 freaking years before I actually got started because of X, X, and X. And oftentimes those are some form of a fear response. And perhaps that's what you're going through right now. And I'm going to tell you a very simple way to get through it and why this, you know, kind of really will help you get over that hump. So first of all, I want you to understand that everybody has hesitations about getting started. And as much as, you know, even people who are seasoned public speakers, I've seen, you know, kind of put stuff off and put stuff off and put stuff off so that they didn't have to publish a podcast episode. It happens all the time. It's something that everybody deals with. So don't feel like you're on your own. This is more common than you would think and more common than most people will admit. Number two is everybody's terrible when they first get started. So if you listen to some of the best podcasters in the world, some of the best interviewers in the world, some of the best, you know, anythings in the world, their first couple are just dreadful. You know, if you go back to the very beginning of the Authority Engine podcast, almost 70 episodes ago, it's really bad. It's not good. And I am fully willing to admit that because, you know, even though I was a podcasting professional at that time, I still did not have a whole lot of experience hosting a podcast or actually being the content creator. So this is something that a lot of people fear is, well, you know, I'm not going to sound as good as the Pat Flynn's or the John Dumas's or the, you know, whatever right out of the gate. Well, that's okay. Neither did they when they first started. So if you go back to their first episodes, I think you'll be very surprised at the quality difference from then to now. So don't get too caught up on, you know, my first episode's got to be perfect. But here's how you can get over that and get started anyways, is you've got a game plan of, hey, here's what I want my podcast to look like. Here's what an episode will kind of sound like. Do a mock episode, record it, and you do not have to publish it. So if you're doing a solo episode, kind of map out what that episode will look like. Go through the episode just like you normally, you know, just like you're going to publish it. Actually record it. And actually think in your own head, kind of like, okay, yes, I'm going to publish this. So, you know, you can't start and stop 800 times. You have to actually kind of get up there and get it going. But, you don't actually have to publish that recording. Nobody knows that you've done that recording. So, you know, if you just delete it and it disappears forever, nothing's going to happen. You can do the same first episode multiple times if you want. You can call up a friend and have them do an interview, a mock interview with you on the phone, and record that as your first, you know, podcast episode interview. Essentially, get a little bit of experience and you don't have to publish those first ones. However, this is where also people can get stuck practicing for weeks on end or months on end. Once you do it a couple of times, you know, of course, record every time. So if you really like it, you can publish it. But there comes a time to where, okay, we've got to put out our first episode, so let's do this. And just record your first episode. Again, if you don't like it, you don't have to publish it, but you can re-record it. And then you're ready to go. You've got a couple of episodes under your belt. Nobody's even listened to them. So you can get started a little bit ahead of the curve. So the big thing here is to get started, get a little bit of experience going. And if you've got to delete the first couple, that's okay. It's not a big deal. So those are the seven major pitfalls of podcasting, particularly starting a podcast and getting rolling. And if you find yourself coming up against one of these seven pitfalls, particularly number seven, kind of delaying that start because of a little bit of stage fright or kind of the fear of having bad hosting skills or, you know, not putting out the best possible content, then I want you to head to authorityengine.com/69. And post up in the comments, what is the number one pitfall that's holding you back? What is the one thing that's stopping you from getting started with podcasting? And I'm gonna comment up there and try to help you figure out what that is and how we can help you get over that. Because podcasting is such a powerful medium. It can allow you to do so many things, from positioning yourself as an expert to growing your audience to really building your sales funnel. And I don't want you to miss out on that because of one of these seven pitfalls. So you can grab a PDF guide that we've put together for you, how to avoid the seven major podcasting pitfalls, at authorityengine.com/69, along with the show notes for this episode. And if you're stuck with one of these pitfalls, post up in the comments. I'll be more than happy to help you out. So folks, that's what today is all about. I really appreciate you listening in, and I want to remind everyone to go out, record your killer content, engage your audience, and convert those listeners into paying customers. I'm Ben Kruger, the podcast marketing guy, and you've been listening to the Authority Engine podcast, where I'm dedicated to helping you grow your business using the power of podcast marketing every Tuesday morning. All right, we'll see you back next week, folks. Have a great one.